If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 507. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Well, we're going to jump right in as usual, and what should we start with here, Scott?
We're going to start with some WordPress vulnerabilities. I feel like it's been a while since I've seen some like critical WordPress problems. It's usually one of our go-tos in the non-SEO news because it's important, but we don't want to talk too much about it. But we got a couple now. So the first is a plugin called WordPress AI Engine. And I haven't used it personally, but it does affect about 100,000 websites. It has a new critical vulnerability that allows hackers to upload arbitrary files that can make remote code execution possible. So that's not good. So if you're using this plugin, you definitely want to update it. This one in particular, it kind of makes me nervous because according to Search Engine Journal, this is the fourth vulnerability fix in July alone of 2025. Like, so they've had four, you know, pretty critical vulnerabilities in 1 month. They've had five in 2025. Last year, 2024, they had nine, one of which was rated at a 9.8 out of 10. So these are pretty serious. So if you're using this plugin, be very vigilant, WordPress AI Engine, be very vigilant and keep it updated regularly. They're fixing these problems, which is good, but it seems like a lot of problems that are popping up.
Yeah, one of the things we do is we have a staff member, Dennis, who focuses almost entirely on keeping our clients' websites updated. He goes through it with a fine-tooth comb, makes sure all the plugins are updated. And if he's notified of vulnerabilities through another system we're using, because we also can't be on top of everything, so we use some third-party tools to help us, we can jump in and make those changes. We do this because we know how important it is. A client could easily be hacked, and the clever / scary part about being hacked is you don't really know about it until they decide to show you that you've been hacked. So you could have been hacked months ago, and every single backup you have is totally useless. Like if you restore the backup, the hacker would just laugh and know that you they still have their open door, because they typically do wait to do anything because they know that you're going to have a backup. So yeah. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that this is stuff that you really do have to pay attention to. All right. Sorry to interject.
No, that's good. Like I had that happen to me. I had just a little website that was kind of a nothing website. Doesn't really matter, but it was hacked. And the same thing happened. It was probably months or maybe even years before they suddenly decided to turn it on. And all of my backups were compromised. And because it didn't make me money and it was a hobby and I didn't really care, I just deleted it. I got rid of it. But of course, if you're running a business that's bringing in money, that's not an option, right? And how do you fix this? Do you start from scratch? Do you actually go in and get someone to fix it manually and track it down? I guess it all depends on the scope of the hack and how badly you need it fixed right away. But what a nightmare. So got to be on this stuff.
All right. Well, next up, there's another vulnerability. Which one's this?
Another vulnerability. This one's in a WooCommerce plugin or add-on or whatever you want to call it. The customer review plugin, affecting about 80,000 sites. This flaw basically makes it possible for attackers, again, to inject scripts into web pages and execute code. So, you know, these are brutal if you get one of these. It could do, people, these hackers could do whatever they want. So, yeah, keep it updated. WordPress customer review plugin for WooCommerce. So update that one as well.
And you might as well take the next one, too, because this is another of yours.
Yeah, sweet. It's a Scott show today.
Well, the title, I'll do the title. Your ChatGPT conversations may be visible in Google search. There, I did something.
Geez, spoiler alert. So be careful. Be careful what you say to ChatGPT, because this is actually terrible and kind of funny. Not funny, like make me laugh funny, but like how can this be possible? ChatGPT shared links are being indexed by Google. So some AI conversations are being indexed and discoverable by a straight Google search. So first of all, how do you find these? If you go into Google and you do a search, site:chatgpt.com/share, then a space, then a plus, and then a keyword or your brand.
Oh, easy.
So easy. That was pretty easy. Come on. Do a search for that. Site:search, ChatGPT. Throw the keyword in there, and you'll see real conversations people have had with ChatGPT, the prompts they use, the responses they got. I've tried a few that didn't really bring anything up, and then I tried one. Maybe we talk about phishing too much, but that was my example, and I did plus phishing, and I got a whole bunch of conversations that people had started. Now, the people that posted the original conversation, the original person, whatever, was just listed as anonymous. I didn't see any that I checked that showed any real names, so that's good. But it really can happen to anyone unknowingly clicking the share conversation button in ChatGPT. That's the way the article at Search Engine Land says they're being found. They're very likely found other ways as well. I'm not sure. So just be careful. You know, SEOs and marketers experiment a lot with AI to test messaging and content ideas and more. And this could really expose a lot of those prompts, strategies, client names, campaign details, private information. If you're having a love affair with your AI, well, your mom knows now. So you got to be careful, right? One recommendation. Sure. Yeah. One recommendation is to disable public chats. In TeamGPT, for example, one of the ones we use, I found it under settings and general, and it's just a little toggle button. You can turn it on and off. So keep it off. Don't have anything be public ever. And then another recommendation I saw was to do this search along with your brand name and see if anything regarding your brand is showing up. So I tried our brand name, Stepforth, and it didn't show anything, which is good. I tried a number of clients just out of curiosity, didn't show anything, which is good. And then I did one client and it showed a ton. And I went to like panic mode, not really, because it's not something I did, but now it's like, okay, I got to tell them to not whatever, do this. Well, it wasn't actually anything related to the client. It's because their business name is essentially a compound word of two regular English words, and Google split it into just using these two words. So it was everything related to those two words. So it was like, okay, this is not relevant, but check it. Do a search for your brand name. And if you see all your private AI chats, you know, I tell you what to do about it, but I'm not actually sure right now. Yeah. I'm not sure how you get rid of those.
Keep in mind that based on the current laws, even if it's not shared online, everything you do type into ChatGPT is saved and is available for law enforcement and anything. And if that means, if that's the case, you just have to wonder, how hard is it for a hacker to get access to that information? So, you know, never type anything in a search like that that's really private. That's just not a good idea.
No, and I don't even know, like, if you wanted to have, like, a fake private conversation with AI, I don't know if there's even a way you could do that knowing that it would never get discovered by... Well, not that I do that, but I'm just curious. Like, you know, if you want something to be really locked down...
It depends. There are... Now, ChatGPT may be the engine behind some other systems that are based on offering counseling,
right?
AI counseling. And if that's the case, then who knows? I would hope not. I mean, I'm sure it would still come across as anonymous, but it, you know, depending what you ask, it can include personal details, I guess. I'm sure it's possible. So It's a leaky, very leaky faucet. I don't know. Don't know about it. Anyway.
Totally.
All right. So SEO versus GEO. What's different and what's the same? First of all, of course, you know, SEO is search engine optimization, whereas GEO is generative engine optimization. Generative being, you know, Perplexity, ChatGPT, search.chat. I can't wait to see how AI translates that. Anyway, search.gpt. Oh man, DeepSeek, you name it, all these different places where you can get a result from their search. So what is the difference and what's the same? Clear headings. I guess these are all the same, Sam, or
Sorry. I should have changed something in these notes here a little bit. What I basically extracted was some of the takeaways from the article on what you could do to optimize for both,
okay.
essentially. So I should have edited the title, but I didn't
Oh,
because I'm a dummy and I forgot my Hawaiian shirt and it's just a total fail of a day.
got my nice
And
Hawaiian shirt on.
yeah.
Yeah. You're so lucky if you can see it. At some point, these will be posted someday, decades from now. Anyway, and you'll know what I was wearing. So clear headings. Use headings to guide users and AI through your main points. Be sure to use the correct hierarchy. So typically, heading one's your title or the main subject of the page. Heading two is what you'd use for each of the questions on the page that you're answering below. If there's a heading three, it's typically just a subheading of one of the questions. If I'm thinking about a question-based article with numerous questions and answers. All right, ensure headings are reflective of the content. Okay, yeah, let's hope that you're writing it correctly. Some compelling data points. Try to include at least one data point or statistic in each key section to boost credibility and give AI answers concrete figures to cite. This can be a percentage, case study result, survey findings, or other useful statistical date. Weave figures into your text so they are natural. Oh my God. So I am the currently the prompt engineer for Stepforth. So I'm typically trying to create prompts that will automate specific actions within our business. Because, you know, I'm being the business owner, I'm currently trying, I'll co constantly trying to find ways to streamline everything and maximize using AI and et cetera, et cetera. Well, one of the things we're doing is writing exceptionally good content for our clients. And I'm really, really focused on this and trying to tell AI how to weave in stats is way harder than you might think. And when they do it, I tell them never to fake anything, and I will tell them that ad nauseum, and it never ceases to amaze me how they still fake stuff
All the time.
all the time. And it's just driving me mad. But I have managed to get exceptional results out of it, stuff that I would be so impressed if I wrote it myself. That it does exactly what this listing, which we haven't finished yet, does. So do listen. This is really good stuff. It's really how you need to write these days, which is not easy for some and might be very natural for some. Authoritative references. Add references and quotes from industry experts and studies to reinforce trust. Use concise paragraphs that introduce insight, context, and explain why your data matters. Now, another thing I should mention is remember from last week, and we've talked about this before, it doesn't matter if Google, if anything can detect that you've written something in AI, it's the quality. So don't obsess over obvious AI traits in your content, all right? Now, I should qualify that a bit because if it's completely obvious that it's totally AI driven and maybe it's not providing a lot of value, then people might be a bit annoyed. And there's definitely going to be a component of people who are regular readers and they are not going to like anything, even if it is amazing, if it's obviously written by AI. So do consider that, I guess. But just saying that Google doesn't care. They just want to make sure that people who read it will enjoy it. Geo-focused tweaks. Convert dense paragraphs into shorter sentences that focus on distinct facts or into numbered steps. 100% agree with this. And generally, that's pretty easy to tell AI how to do. Even if you just use that, it will understand it. Add a brief key takeaways box at the end of each significant section. 100% agree. For longer content, a TLDR section at the top of the post can also be helpful. That's too long, didn't read. What I'm typically doing, I've dabbled over putting short answer at the top and then the answer, like kind of like the brief. I've dabbled over using TLDR. What I think I'm just going to settle on is just putting kind of a, without even titling it, an intro paragraph that's the summary in a sense.
Yeah.
And then people can jump into the real content and dig into the real meat of it. And if you include stats in that brief and you include, like, it's truly really valuable, there's a really good chance it's going to be using an AI overview. So, put a little effort into that and it'll work out. The recommendation summary is clear subheadings, concise data points, expert quotes, use full questions and conversational phrases that people and AI might use, and incorporate structured markup. All right, there you go. Now, some local SEO news. Google Business Profile. We had an issue where since 2022, we weren't getting reviews. I know for a fact I'd asked for reviews from a couple of people who would totally have followed through. They even told me they did. I mean, there's always a chance you go, maybe they just said they did and they didn't. And I took that into consideration. Maybe there's a couple that didn't, but I knew for sure we had at least a few. Well, I will not, I don't, I can't believe this happened, but I contacted support and they fixed it immediately.
Wait, Google support? Like
Yes,
Google. I don't believe
Google.
you. This is this April Fool's episode, I think.
Totally blew me away. Immediately a review popped up within 2 days. I mean, that's wow. So it can work. I swear there should be trumpets blaring somewhere. That's just amazing. I've heard nothing but
Support.
bad negative experiences about it. And it's the one time I finally really follow through and need it, it worked. So
So support is
yay,
actually
Google.
supportive
Yes. And
sometimes.
we finally have fresh reviews appearing on our Google Business Profile, which is a relief.
So I guess the key takeaway there is don't give up. Just
Yes.
get it fixed. Yeah.
Now we'll tag team this one because I'm talking too much. But now some AI news. Should I still invest in SEO? We're going to cover that when we get back from the break. Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Okay, so should we still invest in SEO? I mean, everyone's, well, we're thinking about it all the time because we want to make sure we've got a livelihood, to be perfectly blunt. But the fact of the matter is, thankfully, yes. Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ziprecruiter.com/zip. That's ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
How do we argue this? First of all, it's important that you understand this article that we're covering here, which is actually from Search Engine Journal and written by, Dan Taylor. Yeah, a very well-written article. I believe he's principally speaking about enterprise-level businesses, which is definitely his bread and butter in the company he works for. And most of the shakeups we've been seeing amongst the SEO industry have been with SEO companies who have strong enterprise focuses. They're the ones that have to be on the absolute bleeding edge, and they're the ones who are going to get hit first when there's major changes in search. And so they are. They're getting hit, and this question is coming up. Should companies still invest in SEO? This does not, at this stage, focus really affect local businesses very much. But whatever we talk about here is going to. So do keep that in mind. And I would say the same thing about medium businesses. 50, I sort of consider 50 employees to 100 employees, something like that. It's probably not accurate, but that's how I think about medium businesses. And, you know, in many cases, they are also in the space where they're probably worried about. They may have a local ranking depending on their business. They may have a local ranking for each of their different properties. So they use Google Business Profiles. They're probably okay. If they are focused entirely on organic, then this may be affecting them already. All right. Anyway, let's get right into this. Dan Taylor had some great points. And I loved them so much. I quoted them. And the first one is so spot on. It says, in an AI first search world, visibility starts before the click. That's going to make a lot more sense in a second. The brands that stay active will be the ones users see and remember. This is no longer just about blue links and last click. It's about brand recognition and building visibility across the multiple faces of the modern search ecosystem. You take the next step.
Yeah, to stay visible in this world, you will still need content. In fact, content is the price of admission, essentially. If you're not producing it, you're not part of the conversation. I hope every single one of my clients have heard me say that. So, some of my clients are awesome. They're all awesome, let's be real. But some of them, the content they produce is incredible, and they keep doing it, and they just perform really well. The ones that don't, you know, it's a grind. It's a lot harder. So yeah, content. Content has to work harder. A single piece might need to satisfy different intents, answer multiple questions, or show up in several places from featured snippets, videos, product results, or AI-generated outputs.
Yeah, and a side note there is we've mentioned how YouTube's getting more and more important. Well, that's a content. That's a place for content. Yeah. And whatever you generate in YouTube can easily be multi-used. I mean, you can use it in podcasts, or you could have created it from a podcast and then you create it into content and create it into bite-sized pieces to use for TikTok and all the different social platforms, and oh my gosh, it's just endless. So do consider it that this isn't just written content. So no matter what size of company you are, should you still invest in SEO? The real question, he says, is whether you can afford not to invest. And again, I know this is self-serving, but well, you're listening to us because we know what we're talking about. I hope anyway. And when it comes down to it, that's still the case. You know, it is, and this is actually, he sums this up quite well. He says, paid traffic dries up the second you stop paying. Organic builds on itself. It's one of the few channels that gives you more tomorrow for what you do today.
Yep.
Unquote. That is a perfect way to put it. It's what I love the most about what we do. Whatever the client puts out and really provides great value for, we can optimize and make sure it does come back later even better and builds that authority. At Stepforth, we've been building AI into our client marketing plans for probably 2 years now. We realize there's way more significant changes to come, but we're constantly building this out. Most of it's seamless. Our clients don't have to really do anything, which again, that's going to change. We're really, really working hard to minimize the impact on clients simply because it's a lot. And why not just have us deal with that? You know, that's the best way we can go. But the fact is, we're going to be pushing YouTube. We're going to be pushing restructuring content, consolidating like content into larger pieces, cornerstone content throughout sites is going to be one of my main pushes in 2026 and late 2025. But it's going to be carefully done. And I'm looking forward to it in some ways because it's always nice to have a new learning curve. But it's also going to be, well, the fact is we're dealing with clients who already have great rankings in most cases. So when we're changing content, we're consolidating them, it's going to be a bit nerve-wracking for us because we want to make sure that those rankings maintain. And we don't know what's going to happen there because as much as we do know and much as we're following, AI is still, pulling us in every different direction. So we'll see what happens. Cool. Okay, what's next here?
Yeah, so this is a small study by Bright Edge from over at Search Engine Land that brands are dominating in Google AI mode, but they struggle with AI overviews. So some of the data they found was that in AI mode, brands appeared in about 90% of all responses. In AI overviews, they appear in about 43% of all responses. So a little less than half of what you would suspect or what you would get from AI mode. Citations are showing up in AI mode, about 5 to 7 source cards per search. In AI overviews, you get about 20 or more per response. So you're getting a lot more citations in AI overviews as well. They're finding that AI mode is more stable with lower entry barriers and predictable patterns, whereas AI overviews is selective and volatile. Like AI overviews is kind of the wild, wild west still, really. Whereas AI mode is maybe closer to the early days of search in the sense that, you know, you can search today and you might get kind of the same response tomorrow and it won't be different every 3 or 4 seconds. I don't know. So generally what they're saying in this study is that you want your content to be comprehensive enough for AI mode and the authority and authoritative enough for AI overviews. So you really want to get a lot of authority for AI overviews and you want to focus on comprehensive content for AI mode. So, and of course that's probably going to be different tomorrow or next week.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So, I should have actually finished this note a little bit better, but the next article is Query Fanout Technique in AI Mode, the new details from Google. Query Fanout is, how do I describe this? I actually saw a great description for it, but I can't hunt for it at the moment. Essentially, when you do a search, Google is taking that query and it's fanning out the possible objectives of your query. It's also, so in the traditional way, we would have done a search for a particular query and it would give you back a result for that query. It's that simple. And you'd see universal search results with maybe a couple other things from YouTube or different things that may be contextually similar. That's about as far off base it would go. Let's just generalize it that way. Nowadays, with query fanout technique, that search is being done, but Google's looking at all the different ways that you could be looking at that particular search. What kind of results could you want? And it even guesses areas where maybe aren't even a regular, may not even be, have been in your thoughts when you're making the search. So let's just get into this a little bit. I got a summary from this great article on Search Engine Journal. And the introduction of Query Fanout. Google's VP of Product for Search, Robbie Stein, elaborated on the Query Fanout technique, which enables AI mode to produce and execute multiple searches from a single user query. The technique allows for related searches to be conducted in the background, utilizing large language models and real-time data to generate comprehensive responses that can include unmentioned topics. So in other words, when you do the search, it's actually searching on Google for the different variations of that search and provides it in the search results you see. So it's effectively using Google in the background. It's integrated into AI mode, deep search, and AI overview responses. One of the examples of usage is, let's say you're searching for activities to do in Nashville. The system can autonomously explore related areas like dining and family activities, combining results from various searches into a single response with relevant links. Now, what's the scale of use? The AI-powered functionality caters to approximately 1.5 billion users each month. Of course, this is growing. It's using real-time data sources like Google Shopping Graph, which is updated frequently. You can also do a deep search. If you're, of course, familiar with this, you already know that, if you've ever used it. And this is where they get into really complex reasoning. The deep search function can be activated to run dozens or even hundreds of queries at a time, which can take time for you to even get the result, but it's really truly doing the research, which is phenomenal. AI mode also uses Google's internal tools like Google Finance to provide structured data for various inquiries like stock comparisons and shopping recommendations. All in all, the technique draws on similar process outlined in a Google patent regarding thematic search, highlighting a shift from traditional keyword-based organization, which is what I talked about earlier in my example, to a focus on inferred topics. What's the future implication here? Well, as AI-driven search evolves, we're looking at potential challenges in SEO and attribution. This is going to require us to rethink our strategies so we can embrace this inferred strategy that AI is using. And really, I'm struggling with this. Every single marketer is struggling with this. How do you attribute the success of SEO to a sale now? It's nearly impossible. And not only has Google locked down how much information we get out of Google Analytics, but we're also faced with many, 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 many different ways that someone could have found you. And at what point, at what search did they do it? Who knows? There's just no way to know anymore. Maybe I'm being a bit extreme there, but we don't deal with enterprise-level tools. Maybe there are some enterprise-level tools out there that can do much better than what I'm saying, but for the vast majority of us, there's just really no way. Call tracking will help, but again, if you're tracking calls to a particular click in a paid ad campaign, that's one thing. But if you're doing it from a organic click, well, actually in both cases, you really don't know where they first clicked and how they found out about you. You have to be out there. You have to be in their face before they finally decide that you're worth the person, you're worth calling or booking a time with or buying from. One thing Robbie Stein mentioned is we've integrated most of the real-time information systems that are within Google. So it can make Google Finance calls, for instance, flight data, movie information. There's 50 billion products in the shopping catalog. And he says it's updated, I think, about 2 billion times every hour or so. Jeez. It's truly mind-numbing how much change is happening right now. It's phenomenal and awe-inspiring.
2 billion times an hour.
Just wow.
I guess that helps explain why they're building their own nuclear power plant. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to need a few of them.
All right, what's next?
Yeah, so this is kind of funny because earlier we talked about how Google is showing ChatGPT stuff in search. Well, ChatGPT is also using Google search. So it's like a little symbiotic relationship between the two of them. So Barry Schwartz over at Search Engine Roundtable has been seeing numerous tests that seem to prove that ChatGPT is actually using Google Search Index. So there were a couple examples here that I'll share. So one was posted to X by, I'm really sorry because I don't know that I could even get close to saying this name.
Abhishek?
Abhishek Iyer? Abhishek Iyer? That still doesn't sound right. I'm sorry. If I'm right, woohoo me. Anyways, so this is from him, from their ex post. They coined a nonsense word. So this is, I'm not going to try to say the word because it's just a bunch of gibberish letters. And they put it on a page that was completely orphaned and not linked anywhere. They went then went into Google Search Console and they requested indexing of that page. And after Google had indexed it, he asked ChatGPT to define the term. And it quoted his hidden page verbatim. So ChatGPT found it right away, as soon as it was in Google's index. He did the same query with Bing DDG. Oh, DuckDuckGo. Wow, it took me a second. Yandex, it didn't show up anywhere else. But ChatGPT picked it up almost immediately. So and then Alita Solis had a similar experience where she had created new content, made sure no one had indexed it yet. And then soon as it was indexed by Google, it appeared in ChatGPT. And the results were basically identical to what was being shown in Google there also. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how ChatGPT is getting this. If they're using it through an API, they have an agreement with Google. They're just doing it. Who knows? But I guess it's basically a good thing. It's just that much easier to get into ChatGPT. So from an SEO perspective, it's great. Any way you get in there, it doesn't matter. It's good if you get in. So
yeah, the only reason they showed up right away is because they used a nonsense word. If it was something that was really competitive, then it would be evaluated whether or not there's enough authority for you to show up.
Exactly. But still, the fact that it happened almost immediately shows that ChatGPT is getting that data all the time. You know, they're like, what do you say, 50 billion? Well, that was shopping links, 50 billion every hour or something. But
it was updated a lot.
This is a little bit different.
2 billion still. Times every hour.
Yeah, there we go. Lots.
Or so.
Or so. What is that? What?
2 billion times per hour or so.
Or so. So 2 billion and 12.
Maybe.
I bet it is. I bet it is N12.
Those engineers at Google, they just have to be accurate. All right. Well.
Yeah, exactly.
So lastly, Bing recommends last mod tags for AI search indexing. In a recent Bing blog, it was noted that using the last mod field in your XML sitemap is a top signal for AI-driven indexing. It helps determine whether a page needs to be recrawled or if it can be skipped. The good news is if you use Yoast, this is already done for you. As it is with most XML sitemap plugins and modules for various platforms. If your plugin or platform does not use a last mod, you may want to consider changing or seeing what should be customized. Bing also notes that the change frequency and priority tags in XML sitemaps are ignored. That's interesting.
Yeah, like you know, I don't really think about last mod and that stuff very often, especially because every one of our clients, it's all automated at this point, right? Mm-hmm. That stuff is, as an SEO, do you remember when sitemaps first came out and you had to do it by hand? And it was like, where's the tool to do this? So then you're crawling the site using Xenu Link Sleuth, oh yeah, and then dump it into Excel and some fancy Excel work. It was a freaking nightmare. And now it's like you don't do anything. It just does it most of the time.
I still remember the wonderful days where I could update a site, submit it to InfoSeek, refresh the search results, and see the result.
Oh, yeah, right?
Oh. Live. Oh, my God, that was great.
Miss the good old days.
Yep, it was pretty amazing. Well, there you go. That was a lot today. A lot of AI, and I guess that's going to be the tone going forward. But this one in particular was pretty heavy duty, and I hope you got a lot out of it. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company, Senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you would like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, everybody.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.